You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And those of you who are joining us for the very, very first time, welcome. I'm delighted you're here as well, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really, really good habit to get into. Lots of folks around this world have the habit. And in 95 countries, folks are indulging in the habit right now. We're glad you're here as well. You need to know, if you're new, that we have a free weekly newsletter. Just go over to kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see in red letters something called K-Files E-Zine. It's a little ad. Just click on it, and you'll be able to subscribe. And by the way, you've got time to subscribe right now, before we send this week's edition out. So now's a good time to do it. Well, I'm glad to be back at the microphone this evening. I took last evening away from the microphone. I assure you I did not take last evening off. I was working on something that is coming soon to the Kevin Smith Show, and that is video. And as a matter of fact, we have it in sort of half mode right now. You can't see anything yet, so don't think that it isn't working. We have it in test mode right now, and so we're just going to see how that works. And if the results are good, then perhaps next week we'll be able to start providing the video feed right along with the audio feed, so you can watch the show as it takes place. Just keep your fingers crossed. You know, me and technology, the evil genie descends upon me whenever I start fooling around with technology. The evil genie descends upon the technology. But barring that, we certainly hope to be able to provide video along with the audio beginning next week. That's the goal, and we usually hit our goals. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we miss them by a day or two. Sometimes we exceed our goals. So we'll see how all that happens. All right, tonight is Open Line Live, and it's the only night this week when we'll have Open Line Live, and it's your opportunity to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. It can be any of the topics that we've been discussing on the air, or it can be any of the guests that we've had, or it can be something else altogether, as long as it isn't politics. All right? We're not getting into politics, but I'm probably not going to discuss recipes or auto mechanics either. But you know what I mean. Topics within our genre, it's wide open. And I'd love to hear from you. I've, of course, brought a few stories, a few topics to the table, and we're going for sure to be talking about one of them, and then I'll let you run the show. You can decide what you want to talk about. You can call me and tell me, look, Smith, I want to talk about Mars. or I want to talk about crop circles or whatever. And you're on, all right? You get to control it on Open Line Live. We'll be back right after this break. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hairdryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. We are back, and the phones have already begun to activate. And, caller, if you'll hang on just one moment, I forgot to make an announcement that I really, really need to make. You know, a real friend of this show is Don Alice over at Alien Seeker News. Now, some of you may know and some of you may not know, but several weeks ago, Don had an accident where, as I understand it, basically he fell off the roof and shattered his foot and has been in quite a bit of pain since then. They tried to not have to do surgery, but that didn't work. And so either he has just had surgery or he is just about to have surgery on his foot. He's been in a lot of pain. And all my best wishes to Don as he recovers. And I know you'll want to express that to him as well. Go over to alienseekernews.com and use his contact page to send him an email and tell him that you're thinking about him and you want him to recover, and that if you pray, then you're praying for him. And if you send healing energy, whatever it is that you do, let him know, all right? He's a real friend of this show, and he's a real friend for all of you all over this planet who enjoy the topics that we talk about here on this show. If you haven't been to his website, be sure you do. You'll love it. AlienSeekerNews.com. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, and Don, you know, we don't hope you get well soon, and we don't really need to email him. We can just tell him right here over the here on the Kevin Smith Show, because I know he listens.
Yeah, he does listen.
Well, Don, get well soon, man. Hope to have you walking, and be careful on those roofs, eh?
So, I'm very careful. I don't get on them.
So, I wanted to talk about, you mentioned something earlier about crop circles.
Yep.
Well, I actually had an argument with Art Bell over this one particular crop circle. Do you remember the Arecibo reply from 2001?
I do.
No, well, I wanted to get the urine put on it, because I argued with Art Bell on it before he threw me off the air.
What do you expect him to do if you argue?
Well, he thought it was a hoax, and I was arguing on why it wasn't a hoax.
I don't know. I guess, want my comment on what I think about it. I don't know. I think it's an absolutely fascinating thing.
Yeah.
I think that if it is a hoax, it is a most elaborate hoax. And I would say too intricate and too elaborate probably to be a hoax.
Well, that's exactly what I argued, because that crop circle was made in only 8 hours, because when they closed the lights off, when they went to bed for the night, there was nothing in the fields, and when they came back 8 hours later, there was that crop circle, which was pretty much identical to the Arecibo message from the 1970s, and it was just, you know, tweaked a little bit to fit, I guess, what looked like a gray. So there's no possible way that could have been made in 8 hours, that accurately in 8 hours. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say that it doesn't, I don't know of a way it could be done. I would not say there's no way.
Well, with some of the secret technology that we hear talk about on shows like yours there, Kevin, you know, that could be possible if it was maybe somebody using some of that secret alien technology to create one of those things. But then again, it's still alien technology.
Yeah, it wasn't a couple of good old boys with some boards on their feet stomping that thing through the night.
Absolutely not.
Way, way too intricate. But, I'm not prepared to say definitely one way or the other. However, I will tell you, if I'm sitting on the fence, most of my butt is over on the side that says it's real.
Yeah, I think it's real. And I think that the Arecibo reply, the square one, and the big alien with holding the disc, I think those are the only two crop circles that were meant for humans. I think all the other crop circles, I think they're not meant. I don't think that's a message to us. I think it's a message to other alien beings. I think they're like marking points of some sort.
Hey, maybe just graffiti.
Maybe. But I think it's just probably one alien species sending a message to others that are flying about. I don't think that those crop circles are meant for humans at all.
I think it's
a message meant for other beings flying around our atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Why do you think that?
Just some of the I've read a few different theories on it. A lot of few different people had that same theory, so that's why I think that those crop circles are pretty much sending, you know, writing a message to somebody else that's flying in our airspace.
Hmm.
Yeah,
well, it may be. I mean, in the absence of absolute knowledge of what they are, it could be anything, and that's as good a theory, I guess, as any.
Well,
I'm not thought of that. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I think that's the case, because the crop circles were reported long before we had aerial flight too. Like, crop circles were being made before we were able to fly. You know what I mean?
So, well, that's true.
I think, and that's one of the reasons why I believe that those crop circles are messaged for somebody else. I think, especially since we have, possibly the Anunnaki flying around. We've had the Greys around here for God knows how long. I think it's just, and since the Anunnaki are probably going to be coming back, I think that's why they're getting more complex, because they're probably using the crop circles to intercommunicate with each other.
Well, it's an interesting theory. I'm going to kind of look into that a little more, Kevin. I have to, as I said, I have to be honest about it. It's not a theory that I have considered previously. I don't hear many new theories on this show, so I want to thank you for that. That's something I haven't considered.
Oh, well, no problem. No problem, Kevin. I'm glad to share it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good night, man.
All right. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number. It is toll-free throughout the United States and Canada. Now, if you are outside of that toll-free area, you can still participate in this show. There are several ways. One is you can just call the telephone number and pay the exorbitant, outrageous, high international telephone fees. I don't recommend it, but you can do it. The telephone number works. Or you can send me a flash message. If you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. Just address it to, it's a, just an email. You just send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Don't wait till the last 2 minutes of the show to send it. Sometimes, as email is going from your part of the world to mine, it gets hung up for several minutes. So sometimes I don't get your flash message. If you send it late in the show, I don't get it till after the show. So, don't wait too long. Or if you have Skype and you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can use Skype to give us a call. Simply use my Skype address, which is kevin.smith.show, and that'll get you here. All right. If you're inside of the United States or you're inside of Canada, please don't use Skype. That ties it up for other people that are trying to get in. We have a toll-free telephone number for you, all right? And it is 1-800-289-1092. It's Open Line Live. That means we will discuss whatever is on your mind. And when I read you this article, you will understand why this was on my mind. This is the reporting of an event that took place on this past Friday, I believe. And it happened north of Boston. Listen to the opening paragraph. It's a report of a UFO sighting, all right? Two men tell of a sighting off of I-95. Here's the opening paragraph. The opening paragraph says, "Some areas north of Boston are no strangers to UFO sightings, but would the little green men actually pick Friday the 13th as a landing date?" Now, you see, all of you who listen to this show frequently know exactly why I zeroed in on this article. That little green men thing, it's written by Katie Curley. And I don't know Katie Curley. She may be an absolutely wonderful reporter. And as a matter of fact, report here, the article, is pretty straight ahead. So, you know, I give you kudos for that, Katie. But what's with this little green men thing in the beginning? You just think that's cute? Well, here at the Kevin Smith Show, you see, it is my calling from God to inform the media of their shortcomings and foibles as related to UFOs and extraterrestrials. Katie, let me take you to school, if you haven't been there, on this topic. No one, absolutely no one outside of the media has ever talked about seeing little green men. That was invented by the scum that unfortunately inhabit your profession. I am not implying that you are scum. I don't imply that at all. I don't mean that at all. But that's where it came from. It is from the pond scum of the so-called mainstream media. Now, Katie, from the rest of your article, I would assume that you're a pretty much straight-ahead kind of a reporter. And that's what we need. But the little green men comment, you got to lose it. It's nonsense, it's foolishness, it's stupidity, and it's a complete invention of pond scum that inhabits mainstream media. And unfortunately, it wins you the E.T. Journalism Turdlet Award. Now on to the report. All right, Katie, I hope you don't hate me, all right? Never met you. You may be a wonderful person. I assume that you are. But you got to lose that little green men nonsense, and this would have been a very good report. Two area men swear that something appeared over Interstate 95 about 10 a.m. Friday, and they say it was unlike anything they've ever seen. One of the witnesses was named Robert Mace. He's 36 years of age. He lives at Amesbury. And he said, I was driving my nephew, James, to school at Triton to pick up some paperwork. Then we both looked up and saw this silver illuminated saucer flying through the air. It changed shape into a cylinder and left a trail of smoke. And then it snuffed out like a candle. Now, does that sound like anything that you've ever heard of before? We've heard reports like that before, haven't we? Let me continue here with Katie's article. Mace says he's no science fiction enthusiast, but his voice shook as he recounted his experience. I understand that. People who have never seen something like this before very often are also people who never even think about this. They never even think about what it is that flies through the skies. They don't even think about it. And then all of a sudden, something that totally does not fit their worldview appears in the skies, and it can shake up their world. And so this guy, Robert Mace, said that although he's not a science fiction enthusiast, his voice shook as he told this experience to the reporter. Hours after the incident, which he said occurred near exit 55 in Byfield, Mace said he still had goosebumps. I think a lot of you listening to the show have had that very same experience. I think maybe you saw something different, but you had that reaction. And I'm here to tell you, folks, I talk to a lot of people from around the world, and I'm here to tell you that is a very normal reaction when you see something like this. It's a very, very normal reaction. Even though it can be hours later, it's still replaying in your mind. And your physical reactions to what you saw will continue. For a lot of people, that happens. It'll continue for a long time, for hours, sometimes days. Sometimes people just get obsessed with it and can never be normal again. And that's not a good thing. You know, and it should not be so for you. Mace said that he had never seen anything like it in his life and probably never will again. It was so brightly illuminated in the clear blue sky. It was a big, shiny platter and then changed shape and only lasted about 30 seconds. He said, we kept driving down the highway looking up at it, shift shape. Now, we're hearing more and more reports these days about shape-shifting UFOs. The other night we had Jeff Woolline on, and we were talking with him about the shape-shifting UFOs. He is of the opinion that virtually all UFOs are living entities. While I think that some of them are, I would not say that I think all of them are. I'm not even sure if most of them are, but I think there's a possibility some of them are. Well, here you've got one that shifts its shape. It's a shapeshifter. It morphed from a saucer shape into a cylindrical shape. Now, here's a question that I'd like for you to think about, and I'd like to get your reaction on this. What I'd like for you to think about is, whenever people report having seen one of these shape-shifting UFOs, what do you think the probability is that it is a living being, a living entity? Or, on the flip side of that, what's the probability that it simply represents highly advanced technology? If it can be a saucer shape one minute and be a cylindrical shape the next minute, obviously, if that is technology, it's way, way, way beyond our technological abilities. But people are seeing these sorts of things. They're seeing them in Canada. They're seeing them in the United States. It seems that they're seeing a whole lot of them in the northern latitudes. More so than the southern latitudes, and I could be wrong about that, but that's the way it seems to me. Again, this report was pretty straight ahead, and actually, overall, Katie, I think you did a good job with this report. But lose the little green men stuff, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, Kevin. I actually thought about this at the beginning of last night's show and the end of last night's show. Unfortunately, I forgot it in the middle.
Okay.
There is a new kind of, they call it super paper. It's the same stuff that's in paper, but it's manufactured differently.
All right.
It's organic, and it's stronger than cast iron. So I'm just wondering if...
Super paper? What do they use this for?
They haven't gotten it to that size yet, but they have tested it at the millimeter size, and it's powerful stuff. But what I'm wondering is if some of these craft could be the skin of them could be not steel, but something similar to that.
And you're saying that this super paper is organic?
Yeah.
So it's alive?
No, it's not alive, but it's an organic compound. It's made from the same tree pulp and stuff like that as paper.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if...
It's stronger than steel.
Stronger than cast iron.
Stronger than cast iron.
Yeah.
All right, we're into a break. Brent, do you want to hang on, or is that about it for you?
That's it.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. We'll continue with Open Line Live right after this.
you've gone so far away, you're getting hard to see. Wait for me, you're going way too fast. Can't you see, our time has got to last. I feel your pain and you feel mine, and that's just fine. I am to blame and that's a shame. No, it's alright, 'cause you are here. Your silence is killing me, can't make it through the day. You're driving me crazy, 'cause I have a lot to say. Wait for me, you're going way too fast. Can't you see, our time has got to last. I feel your pain and you feel mine, and that's just time has got to last. I feel your pain and you feel mine, and that's just fine. I am to blame and that's a shame. No, it's all right, 'cause you are here.
Welcome back. It's Open Line Live. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind this evening. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are happening around the world that are really, really, really causing people to think about. I'm hearing lots of stuff on other talk shows, general topic talk shows, and even political talk shows, where they're mentioning apocalypse and 2012 and things like that. I've gotten some email where people have tried to convince me that I'm wrong about 2012. And maybe I am. I've never said I was right about 2012. I've simply said my best guess is it's just going to be more of the same. And you know, December the 21st will come, and nothing will happen, and nothing hugely catastrophic. And then on December the 22nd, I'm going Christmas shopping. Now, I could be wrong about that, but let's say, and let's think about this. Let's talk about this a little bit. And by the way, what are you doing with your telephone sitting on the hook when it's Open Line Live? 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number. I pay for the call. Let me hear your lovely voice. But let's think about this. Let's talk about this possibility. Let's say that there's some great cataclysm that's going to happen. Maybe it's an asteroid coming in, or maybe it's some great catastrophic pole shift or something like that. And let's say, for the sake of argument, that it actually is going to happen. I don't personally think it is, but let's say that it is. just for the sake of discussion. As we sit here right now, if we knew for sure that that was going to happen, and, you know, here I sit at the microphone, there you are in your home or your office and you're listening, or maybe you're in your car if you're listening on one of our radio affiliates, and you know, let's say we know for sure that it's going to happen. December the 21st, 2012, what can you do about it? Nothing. If there is an asteroid coming in, what can you do about that incoming asteroid? Nothing. If there's going to be a cataclysmic pole shift on that date, and if we knew it for sure today, what could you do about it? Nothing. So how does the fear help us? I just don't get that. A lot of people seem like they feed on the fear. They love the fear. And it's like, well, you know, if you don't believe this is going to happen, there's something wrong with you, Smith. And, you know, you need to get the word out. What word? And even if we knew it was true, what good does that do? Well, maybe, you know, some people's lives could be saved. How? Do you know where to go if the pole shifts? Do you know where to be so that you'll be standing on a safe piece of ground when it happens? And even if you did know, do you have the means to be there? I mean, it's expensive to just pick up and move and go there. So, you see, the point is, lots of people like to, you know, just feed on that fear about it. And in so doing, they sort of forget to live. And there are a lot of interesting, wonderful things for us to be involved in between now and then. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. On December the 20th, I will be in Bangkok, Thailand. That's in 2012. I plan to be in Bangkok, Thailand. I plan at the stroke of midnight on the 20th, so that now we're into the 21st. I plan to start broadcasting a party, a live party. And at the time when it is midnight on the United States West Coast, there will be a real party in full swing in Bangkok, Thailand. I'll be there. I hope a lot of you go with me. Some of you will be taking this trip with me this year, I hope. I hope some of you are planning on going with me in late October over to Thailand to see some of the really wonderful, mysterious things that are there that there's no way you'll ever see them unless you go. It is really an experience. But I hope some of you who go with me this year will return with me for the 2012 party, and I hope to have about 1,000 people with me at this party. We're going to celebrate whatever happens, and the whole world is going to find out all at the same time, don't you think? We're all going to find out whether it is a planet killer event or whether it is Y2K. I'm confident that we're going to end that party, get a little sleep, and go shopping. But I could be wrong. So what do you think? What do you think our response should be as we see the approaching 2012? Now, I'm quite serious about this. I want to know And I'm not going to be critical of you if you have a different view. You know me better than that. But I want to know what you think we ought to be doing. What should be our mindset? What should we be thinking? And what should we do to get ready for 2012 as you see it? What's your opinion on that? I think just about everybody's got an opinion on that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Louis from Connecticut.
Hi, Louis.
Good evening, Kevin. My opinion on 2012, I believe that they're working on this with a harp. I believe if there is a planet X really getting close to our Earth, I think HARP has enough potential to change the course. If it can send a signal through the ionosphere, I believe that's our scientists are working on. HARP is going to do something to change the direction of that planet X.
Well, we've heard a lot of stories about the evils of HARP. If your theory is correct, then what's up with HARP is a good thing.
Yeah, I believe HARP has many different potentials. I believe it, negative ions. Because remember on your show a few years ago, you had two people on. Was it Resnick?
Guy Kramer and Dr. Resnick.
Guy Kramer. He's responsible for the negative ions, right?
That's correct,
So I believe that they are working on it. He had a site up, and they took it off. So I believe they came up with something where they can use HARP, not only man for signal to submarines, but I believe HARP can be used as a positive and a negative. The positive part is, it probably can do something to change the direction of that planet X. And the negative part is, I really believe HARP can send a signal through the ionosphere. I believe it can cause a nuclear explosion without the radiation. I believe it can do that.
Well, I can't argue because I don't know. But I think it's an interesting theory. And do you think that 2012 is going to be a planet killer, or do you think that I'll be able to have my party and then go shopping?
Well, I believe 2012. I believe before 2012, we're going to have problems.
We're having problems now.
We have very much problems now. We have in Iowa, the levees are breaking. But I believe just with what guest you had on there, Masters.
Yeah, Marshall Masters.
Yeah, that he's talking about the painted rust. I believe that's true in a way because the majority of our infrastructure in the United States is over 100 years old. So if any kind of change in the Earth's crust, it's going to change the infrastructure for us.
Yeah, so let me ask you again now. Am I going to be able to have my party and then go shopping the next day, or is this a planet killer?
Well, no, I believe it's going to be between certain areas. I believe it's going to be a planet killer. Well, it depends. Now, if the shift comes and you're near the shore, I don't think you're going to make it at a party.
Well, I'm not near the shore. Really, but Bangkok is in it's low elevation, very low.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Bangkok is going to go first. That's it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think Bangkok.
Oh, man, it's a party killer.
Yeah, it's going to be a party killer out here, yeah. I think a lot of the area is going to go. But I really think HARP, man, I think they can do something. I believe, HARP is doing stuff right now. Maybe they're testing stuff, But I believe there's a positive and a negative they can use it for.
All right, Louie, thank you for the call. We're into a break. I tell you what, that's disheartening for me. I'm going to be having a party. I don't want a party killer. That would really be crashing the party, wouldn't it? We'll be back right after this. get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. We are back, and right at the moment, it's Open Line Live. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. What we've been talking about the past few minutes is 2012. It's kind of Open Line Live is kind of like a box of Cracker Jacks. You never know what prize you're going to get. I never know what we're going to get when I push the button to bring a caller online. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Hello, Gary.
First off, I'd like to compliment you on the show that you did with Colonel Ware. I thought it was one of the finest radio programs I have ever heard. He's just a fascinating man.
He is fascinating, isn't he?
Yes, he was, no doubt. I hope you have him back soon.
Well, he's agreed to come back again, so perhaps we can work that into the schedule pretty soon.
Well, that would be great, because I tried to get through to talk to him, but just didn't get through. I'd like to touch on 2012.
All right.
Biggest obstacle with 2012 for guys our age is, first of all, getting to 2012.
I plan to be there, and I plan to party.
I do too, and I would sincerely love to join you in 2012 at a party in Thailand.
Start saving your pennies.
Oh, that's not my problem. I have obligations to take care of here that preclude me from going too far away and for too long.
I understand. Well, I'm hopeful that my grandchildren can join me and my children, and I intend for this to be a grand and wonderful party in downtown Bangkok. I don't know yet exactly where we will do this, but it'll be at a very nice hotel, at a very nice banquet room in a hotel. And we're going to have a good time. So you need, if things change where you can go, we want you to go.
I would sincerely love to go. And like I said, the biggest obstacle for 2012 is getting there first.
Yeah.
Old-timers like us got to get there. Once we get there, then we can have a good time.
That's right.
I don't see it as anything different than another day. I can't view it as anything different than another day.
I don't think it will be. But, as I said, if we knew for sure that something cataclysmic was going to happen that day, what could you do about it? Nothing.
Well, what I would do is, I am a huge Corvette enthusiast. I would go and buy a brand new Corvette and drive it like I stole it, buy the biggest cigar I could find, and smoke it like I was the king of the world. And that would be it. Just enjoy the rest of my days.
Yeah, I don't see that we are served well by fear. I've never, ever found anything that fear does for us that's positive except make us run. That's what it was intended for. Fear is so that you will run to save your life. Well, if this is a planet killer, there's no place to run to. So, why fear?
Exactly. It's, I know a lot of people that in the year 2000 panicked and went out and bought generators and spent literally thousands of dollars preparing for 2001. And here we are, 2008. I made it this far. If I can make it to 2012 and you're there, I sure will give you a call and say, Kevin, let's do this. Let's party. Let's go. I'm ready.
Well, we have the technology that we intend to use that will make it possible for people to call that toll-free number, and it will ring me toll-free over in Thailand. So you'll be able to be part of the show.
Oh, and speaking of technology, we've been talking about, or a few callers have talked about, the technology of the living UFOs or the changing shape UFOs.
Yeah.
I sincerely wonder what the technology is that this country does possess that we will not see. The secretive technology that this country does possess, it's got to be years ahead of its time, many, many years ahead of its time from what we know now.
Remember Gulf War One, and in Gulf War One, that's the first time we ever saw these smart bombs and smart missiles where they fly right down a smokestack. First time the world had ever seen it, and everyone was in awe. And General Schwarzkopf said, that's obsolete.
That's old stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, though.
Yeah, well, it does. Gary, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, man.
I hope to see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good evening. All right. 1-800-289-1092. Maybe we should change the telephone number to 1-800-289-2012. What do you think? But we shall not. 1-800-289-1092 will get you here toll-free. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yeah, Bob.
Hey, how's it going out there in Arizona today?
Hot. 113 degrees out here today.
Oh, my God. It was like 92 around the Midwest, and you guys got hit with that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not even into summer yet.
Not
real summer here. Before it's over, I expect we'll be well over 120.
Wow. That's horrible. That's like Death Valley times 10.
Well, that's why you've heard me say on the air that if you live in Phoenix, there is a time of the year when you're quite certain you live in North Hell.
Oh, I know.
You're not really in hell, but you're at least in a suburb.
Oh, God, it sounds like it. I mean, yeah. Once it hits the 90s, people start, you know, shuddering for the shade, let alone the hundreds, and then the 110 above that's just ridiculous. You can't even walk in that, I bet.
Well, you get accustomed to it, but even though you're accustomed, it's still very, very hot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I had a quick question. I heard that you're going to be showing some kind of a live feed to where you can see into the studio and everything.
That's right.
I think that's, like, totally cool, and I think most people will probably really enjoy it. But I was curious if you're going to have it the old way how it is now, too, where you can just listen to the radio.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, the way it'll work, if you're listening to the show via, if you're using our player, everything on broadband, everything will be the same, except there will be the video of me doing the show.
Okay?
So you'll see it. If you're listening any other way, you'll still hear it the same as before. Nothing changes there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always loved, you know, you come home from work or anything like that, and you've got so much commotion during the day. There's so much to do. And then you come here, and it's kind of like you turning on the radio. It just reminds me of how the stories I used to hear about the older people turning on the radio and hearing the stories like The Shadow.
Oh, yeah.
Where you use your imagination, and it was like, you know, I heard the stories how it was like, who knows, the shadow knows, and everybody would be at home around the radio trying to picture what was going on, and everybody's imagination had a little bit different. So I always figured, even though the video feed comes up, I love the show enough just to hear it get away from things and have stuff on in the background, you know?
Well, and yeah, you're right. You know, old-time radio went back into production a few years ago, NBC Radio Mystery Theater. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I was, those were new productions, and I was an absolute ardent fan. I love live radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nowadays everything has to be so easy and so candy-coated on TV, and everything's just about sex and this and that, and everybody's listening to rap and so off the wall and stuff. People can't just sit back and start using their brains. Think about, think about the things that we talk about on the show. Try to picture and visualize things. I know the first thing that happens to me when I turn on the show is I immediately feel a connection, you know, to the desert out there, which is a sacred Native American place. And when you're in a city or anything like that, it's nice to be able to picture that in the background from where you're broadcasting. So if you do set that up in the studio, once in a while, you're going to have to give us a peek outside of the studio, too.
I will do so. Yeah, you will see that where I am located out here, it really is like Mars with cactus on it.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
I'll bet. You know, one time I was traveling out in the Nevada area, and I decided I'd go a little UFO hunting, even though I'd never done it before. I had lots of water in the back, and I took off, and I went down one of the roads, like one of the water roads in the middle of nowhere.
Bob, can you hang on through the break?
Sure, no problem.
Yep, hang on. You won't hear anything, but you're on hold.
All right, folks, we will return right after this.
Two, three, four.
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
right, we are back, and on hold is Bob in California. Bob, I got to tell you, all that talk about how hot it is out here made me thirsty. I had to go get a glass of water.
I hear you. Got to do that.
Yeah. All right, so you went UFO hunting in Nevada, right?
Well, yeah, this is an interesting aspect I thought I'd share on the show, because I don't think I've ever heard anybody quite tell a story like this. Now, this is a story where I didn't actually see a UFO. What happened was I went out on one of those water-type trails in the middle of the desert. It was in the Nevada area, in the middle of kind of nowhere. And I got out there, and I was kind of alone, which I didn't like that idea once I got out there being alone. It's probably best to have a buddy if you're going to do something like that.
Yep.
But I got out there, and it was so dark because there were no city lights around that I think I had a sunroof at the time, and I was looking out the sunroof and looking around, and then I started to think, what if the UFO did come? I'd be out here in the middle of nowhere by myself with this thing above me that could abduct me, do all these things to me, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not fun, and all of a sudden a little bit of panic came over me, and I got in my car, and I took off, and I got on the main road, and I was so happy to see the lights, because after a while, you start getting a little bit of a chill. So I just wanted to commend all those out there that, like Jeff, that go up into that mountain and do all those different things all alone, because, you know, there's a little bit of a creepy feeling knowing that you might not have control of everything around you once you do find what you're looking for.
Did you hear the show that we did the other night with Jeff?
Yeah.
Once we get all of the kinks worked out of the live video feed, I'm going to take all of you to the mountain.
Ah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's been wondering in their heads what it looks like up there, and, you know, it'd be kind of cool.
It's a desert mountain.
Are you going to go up yourself?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so is my film crew.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
are you guys going to get those big wooden moccasins for the rattlesnakes?
you're going to see an old fat man run. If we run into rattlesnakes. I hate snakes.
Oh, I know. And black widows and scorpions scare the heck out of me, and I know you guys got those out there.
Yeah, those don't bother me.
Oh, wow.
But a snake really bothers me. Have you ever eaten a scorpion?
No.
Well, they're not bad.
Really?
Yeah, they're not bad. A little different. You toast them up just right, they're not bad.
Make sure you bring an anti-venom kit with you guys. I want to make sure that there's more shows ahead of it.
I got to tell you this, and I'll let you go. In the last, before each international mission that I went on, we had to go through, I guess the best way to describe it is International Police Academy. We had to go through this again. And it's a very rigorous, tough physical agility test that you have to go through, and part of it is you have to run a mile, I think, or maybe it's a mile and a half, and some of the younger guys that were there you know, kept referring to me as grandpa, but when it came time for the run, they were astonished, they were amazed, because I set a pace most of them couldn't keep,
which means you can move when you want to.
That's right, and rattlesnakes can motivate me to move faster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. Yeah, that's one of the cool things about adding video is that some of these things, I'll be able to take you right there so that you can see. Some of them, we're going to do one. I said that we had another witness that had seen the same sorts of things that Jeff Woolline has seen, and that he videotaped them. And these are really high-quality video, really high quality. I've seen them, and, boy, it's amazing. So even though these were taken some time ago, when we do our show with him, we'll be able to feed that video in where you can see it for yourself as we talk about it. And that is going to be a jaw dropper. All right, 2012 is what's on the plate right now. What do you think? I have said that I don't think that 2012 is really going to be a big cataclysmic event. I don't. I could be wrong. I'll tell you what, I'll find out the same moment you do. But between now and 2012, I will not live in fear. And I don't think any of us should. I hear people just almost in agony. They're so fearful about the things that are coming. And you know, we're seeing climate change, and we're seeing, by the way, Robert Felix is going to be back with us. We haven't firmed that up yet, but we will firm it up. He's going to be back with us. He's the one that wrote the book, Not by Fire, but by Ice, where he said we're headed into another ice age. Other scientists around the world are now saying the same thing. Felix said it first, and people laughed. Well, now there are climatologists saying that what we're seeing now is the precursor to the entry into another ice age. So he's going to be back with us. But there are people that, you know, they see all the climate change that's going on, and, you know, there's floods and there's tornadoes where there didn't used to be any, and a whole lot of them, and very destructive. And and floods, you know, bigger than anything that has been recorded in modern history. And a lot of people are just very, very fearful of that. Well, it's not that I think it's nothing. I mean, those are big tragedies, big calamities. But why be fearful? Look, what is. You take what comes and you handle it. I see no reason to be fearful. But again, I could be wrong. We'll see. This caller will set me straight, I hope. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Well, I hope you're right about 2012. I really do. I got some of my own personal predictions here, if you're interested.
Yep, I want to hear them.
All right, I made these predictions on January 11th of this year, and I've got them by year. First of all, 2008, I got the devaluation of the dollar. I'm predicting the stock market will drop below 10,000 and that oil will go to $150 a barrel this year.
Okay.
2008 to 2009, you'll see satellite TV and cell phones begin to go down. We'll have continual power outages, some statewide power outages. You'll have floods, tidal waves, earthquakes, and the food prices will start to peak. In 2009, you'll see the bird flu. There'll be a lack of food, and you'll have worldwide starvation. Some social disobedience, you'll have riots. The dollar will collapse, and the establishment of the Amero will be the new currency. Between 2009 and 2010, you'll have extended national power outages. The stock market will drop below 8,000. Extended TV, cell phones, and internet outages, and RFID chips will become mandatory. And it gets worse from there, but I don't want to take up too much time.
What anyway, do you base all that on?
I just really concentrated one day and kind of thought about what I had heard other people predict, and I just started writing it down. I really don't have any other basis than that.
Does it cause you concern?
Well, all I've done to prepare is I got one of the home generators, and we started to store up some food, and we've got to use the home generator a few times. We've had some power outages and stuff here. But either there is a limit to what you can do. That is very true. Outside of going underground, at a certain point, I don't know what else you can do.
Well, if you go underground and there's a pole shift and the place where you went into the ground is now underwater,
you're
in a heap of trouble.
Big trouble. Have you ever heard George Green, some of his predictions?
No.
You should check him out sometime.
What does he say?
Well, he's one of these guys that claims that he actually was a part of the New World Order for a while. They wanted him to be part of the Carter administration. He was like a millionaire. He was a big real estate guy, and ended up turning them down, and they just about destroyed him financially. But anyway, he predicts there are going to be some just incredible stuff that happens in the next 4 or 5 years.
I think I think there's going to, look, the stuff that's going on in the Midwest right now, up through the heartland of the United States of America, is incredible. It's just phenomenal. It's just unbelievable, except for the fact that we know it happened. I mean, it's not someone's story. We've seen it on the news. We've seen the videos of it. We know that it's going on. But it's just absolutely incredible. Of all the places where you could move, where you should feel safe, that would be the place.
Yeah,
and maybe. That's my point. My point is, you live on this planet, there's no place to run. So I see no reason for fear. I think we should just go on with our lives and live every day. Look to the future with some hope, and if we're wrong, we're wrong. But look, between now and 2012, I'm planning for a party.
Well, good for you.
Okay. Now, if it turns, but if it turns out I'm wrong, and we all get wiped out, it was going to happen anyway. But at least for the period of time from now till then, I had something fun to look forward to.
Yeah, I think you're right. Don't you think we should try to make some preparations, though?
How can you prepare? Don't know what's coming.
The only thing I think you might be able to do is stockpile a little food, make sure you're not too far in debt, and also I think the home generator is probably a good investment. But you're right.
I think as a general rule, you should do that anyway.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Just because you don't know, I mean, you know, miles and miles and miles away from you tonight, an 18-wheeler may run off the road, hit a power line, drop the power line in a way that sets off a chain reaction that kills the grid you're on.
Yep.
Well, if so, you're not going to be able to run the microwave, the television, the radio, or have lights in your house. Means you're not going to be able to cook anything. So if you got a generator and some stockpiled food and water, you're good to go.
There you go.
Yeah, so I think just as a general measure of being prepared, that's a good thing to do. But as far as, you know, if 2012 is really, you know, a planet buster, we're on the planet. There's no place to go. There's nothing we can do about it. So I say plan for 2013.
Okay, sounds good, Kevin.
Yep. All right, thanks for the call, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right. Interesting conversation. And what about you? What have you got planned for 2013? What have you got planned for December the 22nd, 2012? There was, down through history, there have been several anomalies that have occurred within the Christian religion. I'm talking about anomalies where some Christian leader, some preacher, determined that on a certain date Jesus was going to return. And people went out and sold everything that they owned, divested themselves of all their worldly goods, and went out into the field or up onto the mountaintops to wait for Jesus to come. Didn't happen. Now, does that mean that I think Jesus will never come back? That's not what I said, is it? What I said is they thought that it was going to happen on a certain date, and it didn't happen. And there they were, broke, no longer owned their farms, no longer owned their businesses, had nothing to their name, and pretty embarrassed, I would think. Maybe what they should have done is maybe they should have said, well, okay, if it's going to happen on that date, I need to get myself ready mentally and spiritually, etc. But I've got to keep planning and working, and because if it doesn't happen, then, you know, life goes on. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. I'm not saying that I have any proof that 2012 is just going to be another year. I'm not saying that I have proof that December the 21st, 2012, is just going to be another day. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I hear a lot of fear and a lot of speculation about what will occur on that date, but I've seen no evidence. I have seen no evidence that supports the fear or that supports the speculations or the prophecies. Now, there are people that point to the Mayan calendar and they say, well, what about the Mayan calendar? Okay, what about it? I mean, it's there. That's where we got the information about 2012 from. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
Yeah, as far as 2012 goes, you know, you're right. There's always been end of the world people. And I think one thing that we're dangerous of is grouping anyone who thinks that there might be something in 2012 into that category. What I mean is that, you know, we're not talking about some guy who, some preacher who asks for money every Sunday saying this. We're talking about people who have predicted eclipses and things like that, you know, accurately that have no, you know, invested interest as far as financial or any other thing. And so that's a big difference to me. And if any of their other predictions were accurate, you know, this one might be too. But, you know, who knows, Kevin? We've messed up, you know, books and things. And so, you know, we could have messed this up too. But if it comes down to stuff being translated and we translate it correctly, well, then either, you know, you believe the story or you don't.
Well, look, you've got to get down to whose story do you believe? All right, because the Mayans say it's over. 2012, December the 21st, it's over. That's what they say. People come along with this interpretation and say, no, it's just the end of an era. Well, that isn't what the Mayans said. They said it's over.
Well,
and the calendar ends. All right, now, whose story do you believe? The Mayans, or what about the Christian version? The Christian version is there will be a seven-year period where it's really tough on this earth, and then after that, there will be 1,000 years of peace on earth. Well, whose ancient story are we going to believe?
Well, you know, it's... I don't know, you know, who to believe. You know, it's a lot of it's perspective, because right now things are tough. But, you know, a lot of people living here in the United States who are, you know, ignorantly bliss don't pay attention to it, and they don't look at it. And even if they do see it on the news, even if it's in the same country like Indiana or Iowa, people still look at that. And everything's fine in their life, and they might go poor people, and they might even send a donation or say a prayer for them. But when it comes to them thinking, wait a minute, a bunch of things are going on, kind of like it says in the Bible, they're never going to come to that conclusion because their life is okay. Their electricity's still on. You know, these people, most people don't have, you know, gas and plans to get electricity and extra food. But, you know, that's all we can do, Kevin, is, you know, hoard some food and water and sit back and let the show happen. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter what we think.
Let me ask you two questions. First question, as you look at 2012, are you frightened? Is there fear as a result of 2012?
No.
Okay. Question number two. Are you going to be at my party in Bangkok?
Kevin, I am one of those people who have absolutely no interest, and this is no offense to anyone around the globe, because there's probably people in every country who don't want to go anywhere. And, if Texas was another country, well, then, yeah, I'd love to go to another country. Or, you know, Canada's different. But, you know, as far as going to another country and going to where you're talking about, Kevin, I'm going to have to pass on that. But I hope you have fun and whoever goes is safe. And I hope nothing happens bad to us on 2012. But one thing I'd like to say is that we don't just have predictions and people saying things. We've got actual science backing up things happening in our solar system. And, you know, with all these things going on, and, you know, everything heating up and churning and burning in our solar system, and our all of our underwater volcanic activity going on under our ocean, causing the water to heat up as to melt the glaciers, but at the same time our ice sheets are getting thick. Something's got to be going on, Kevin. This isn't going to be nothing happening, but it might be the end of the world or the end of this era. But the Mayans, they couldn't look back and say it's going to be end of an era, because we know now all these past civilizations, we found their stuff, so we know they were here, and we know something happened, and you know they were gone, but then we were here. So,
well, I'll tell you what I want you to do, since you don't have any desire to get outside of the United States. Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
I want you to call the show that I do live from Bangkok to celebrate the passing of December the 21st, 2012. And I want you to call me at 1 minute past midnight. Okay. Then we're into December the 22nd.
What's the exact date? Because we always say, oh, we got to know the exact date. So what was the exact date this is supposed to happen?
According to the Mayans, it's December the 21st, 2012.
December 21st, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Kevin, thanks for taking the call. I'd like to say thank you for defending the show's honor last night to the two politicos who were on here. And I would like to say that we've got a lot of good people in ufology. They do a lot of good work, but they're human beings, too. And they have weaknesses, too. And when they come on a show like this and start trying to hoodwink people and misrepresent things that were said in order to sway them, it makes me think that they think the audience is stupid or ignorant, one or the other, because, you know, for anyone to actually think that a person could run for president, as unpopular as this war is, on saying that they're going to be there another 100 years at war, well, that means that just looks like to me they're doing it on purpose, because there's no way anyone with a doctor in front of his name could actually think that, in my opinion. But thanks for letting me call.
Thanks for the call. All right. Last night was a replay. That was an encore presentation of a show that we did back in May. And as a matter of fact, May the 1st, I think. And again, the reason for that was pretty simple. I was working on the technological side of getting this video stuff going. Coordinating that with the radio broadcast is not as simple as you might think. It's not entirely difficult, but it's not as simple as you might think, and it has to be tested. And so we did some of that last night. We're in half mode right now. What that means is it is happening. The video is happening. We're just preventing it from streaming onto the screen. All right? And we're watching some of the technical side of it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, hello, it's Kevin again.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, I want to say that I heard her talk about the New World Order, and I've wanted to say this on a radio show for quite some time.
You have to hurry because we have a break coming.
Okay, yeah, it's very quick. Yeah, you know, we hear a lot of talk about with Alex Jones and Steve Quayle and Michael Sarian and all that talking about it. But you know what? A lot of the people that listen to these programs, they already know about it. They already know what's going on. I think what the listeners have to do is take the information that they get from people about not just the New World Order, but ufology, and spread it around to people who don't know, the people that are blind and who are you know, being, quote, distracted by other means, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, I think that we have to, you know, use a little bit of judgment, too, as to just, you know, for instance, I get emails where people are saying, oh, you've got to get this word out, you've got to get the message out, and then they tell me what the word is, what the message is. You know, there are very few things in this world that you really, really can do anything about.
I know.
You know, the only real estate that's really under your control is where your feet are standing.
Mm-hmm.
And, or if you're seated, it's where your butt is sitting, that you control. You, yourself, your reactions, you control that.
Well,
and, you know, there are very, very few things that people really, if all of the fearful stuff is true, there's very little anybody can do about it, if anything. And so, you know, I'm very reticent to engender fear. We're into a break. We got to run. But we'll be back right after this. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking about whatever is on your mind tonight. It's Open Line Live. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, Chris.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good. I just kind of want to throw my two cents in about the whole 2012 thing. You know, there's such a mixture of theories and possibilities, and you know, just your show alone talks about so many different things, so many different realms. It's hard for anybody, I think, to nail down what will happen, what won't happen. Your one caller did point out, you know, there are certain scientific things that we know, you know, should be happening or will be happening according to them. You know, but really what you can't, I don't sit here and wonder what I'm going to be doing at that time. I'm wondering, you know, what I'm going to be doing next week or tomorrow or, you know, I guess I can't think that far into the future. It would shape my life too much, I think, to, you know.
Well, even if you did, let's say that you could look into the future and know for sure what's coming. What could you do about it?
Yeah, I mean, you can. You said it perfectly, you know. Your feet are planted right here. And if it's a planet thing, there's nothing we can do about it. And if it's not a planet thing, we do what we always do as a species, and we try to recover and we try to take care of our own, because, I mean, it's not just Americans, it's everybody. I mean, as a species, humans, you know, there are some really evil, evil people out there, but, you know, we take care of ourselves, and we do help out when we can help out, and we do our best to try to preserve the species. And I think that's the only thing that could happen after something that wasn't like a planet-wide devastation. And we would do whatever we could to get it back on our feet again, and we would evolve and continue to move forward, because we're people.
Well, that's true. Look, as the climate is changing, and it is, there are a lot of debates about what are the causal factors of that, but I don't think anybody debates that it's changing. So as the climate changes, we are seeing more and more extreme storms, and I think we will see more before this is over. But it's kind of like a pendulum. You know, a pendulum swings as far as it can to the right, and there's a brief pause, and then it starts to swing back to the left, and it'll swing as far as it can to the left, and then there's a brief pause, and it starts back to the right. And that's the way I view these events. We're going to get through them. It's going to swing toward the extreme for some time, and then it's going to pause and start to swing back toward the other direction. It's not going to happen overnight. Things may not moderate till long after I'm dead, but they will moderate.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we are going to see the destruction of the human race. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to be back into the days of, you know, the Stone Age type conditions. I do think things are going to change. I don't think that when my youngest grandchild, which, by the way, let me say, is the most beautiful grandchild on the planet.
Of course.
Along with the others. I don't think when she has grandchildren that we're going to be driving automobiles that burn fossil fuel. I just don't see that. I think we are going to see a lot of changes, lots and lots of changes, but we are going to survive, and we're going to do very well.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there, sir. I don't, you know, there's doom and gloom, I'm sure, but, you know, we always get through it. It's a, you know, it's adversity, and we take it as we can, and we move along from it. And, you know, who knows? The future, I still think this could be a very bright, bright future, you know? It's just without pain and suffering, sometimes you can't grow, and maybe it takes a great shake-up for people sometimes to realize what's going on.
Well, it causes us to realize what's going on, but, you know, it also, think of the shakeup in our technologies that cataclysms cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we have earthquake-resistant buildings because there are earthquakes. And because there has been great loss of life. And engineers came up with earthquake-resistant buildings. Can they be toppled? Yes, they can. How likely is it? Well, it's a whole lot less likely than just plain old buildings.
Exactly.
So, you know, there are tremendous technologies that arise from cataclysms that help us to our lives change, but it helps us to have a better life into the future. So I don't fear the future. You know, if I did, I wouldn't drive out here in Phoenix. I'm telling you. Drivers in Phoenix, Arizona could not pass a driving test anywhere else on this planet. It's unbelievable.
Well, excellent, sir. Thank you so much. And I will have to say I'm really looking forward to the video feature. That's just going to be so cool.
Yeah, I think so, too. Oh, by the way, how about you? Are you going to do the 2012 party with me?
I will not be able to be there in attendance, but I will sure as heck try to call that night. We might be having our own little party here, so.
All right, good enough. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Sounds like I may be at this party by myself. Well, our fans in Thailand will join me. I know that. We have a good audience in Thailand. And maybe some of our friends from Vietnam can come over. We have a big audience in Vietnam. And I don't know. You know, I need to check and see what we're doing in Cambodia. But all of those Southeast Asian countries, maybe we can meet somewhere where everybody can get together and enjoy that party that night. And I want as many of you to go with me on that as possible. But I want you to plan first to go with me this year. I'm going to Thailand in October, and you need to be a part of that trip. It's going to be a very, very wonderful trip. There are some absolutely mysterious things and some mystical things in Thailand that you'll never see. Unless you go there, you got to go. There's no way to see them unless you go there. So I hope you'll join me for that trip. A lot of you already are sending me emails saying that you want to go. And so I think we're going to have a good time. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming again.
Yeah, Brent.
I just wanted to make a couple comments.
Do it.
Somebody said that we ought to go out and tell these people. Some people are willfully ignorant, and they will not. They will fight you rather than accept the possibility
yep.
that the UFOs exist and stuff like that. And so far as preparing for 2012 is concerned, well, I will say that the only thing we can really do is emotionally prepare ourselves for the possibility. Physically, we can do some stuff, but other than that, most important thing is to emotionally prepare yourself for the possibility that something might happen. Other than that, nothing.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Thinking okay. about 2012, does it create fear for you?
No.
I think anyone who gets up in the morning and goes to work, either outside the home or in the home, is faced with so many risks. You walk over to the wall where the switch is and you flip the switch, you could, if there's faulty wiring, you could electrocute yourself right there.
Let me put it this way. I was once denied an education in college because it was said that I might get hurt. The possibility of me getting hurt is roughly equivalent, on stage, is roughly equivalent to the possibility of you walking across a dirt road in Wyoming getting hurt.
Yeah, well, the point is there are risks.
Yeah,
and
there's always risks.
It's a big risk just to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
I figure if you wake up in the morning and discover you're breathing air and not dirt, you
yeah.
know you're alive, you won.
Yeah.
And so you get through the day, right?
Well,
and we don't even think about all of those risks. We just do it.
Anytime somebody asks me how I'm doing, I say, well, if I live to see tomorrow, today's been a good day.
That's it. And we get through it. We don't even worry about all that stuff. We just do the day.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to do between now and 2012 is just do the day, one day at a time, and don't fear it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Brent.
Yep, keep it.
All right, 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. And express your views, all right? You can talk about 2012, or you can talk about Gary McKinnon. There's a big topic. Gary McKinnon is back in the news. You know, he's the guy that hacked into the U.S. military computers and found all kinds of interesting stuff. And the United States of America wants him to be brought here to stand trial for that. He has he appealed his case, his extradition case, in Great Britain. He lost the appeal. And so he's got one more place where he can appeal it, and that is to the House of Lords. And he has done so. And is anxiously awaiting a decision from the House of Lords about whether he can be extradited to come to the United States and stand trial. So maybe you've got a view about that. Maybe you think he should stand trial. Maybe you think he should not stand trial. I got a lot of email. You know, when this first hit the news, when it first happened, I came here on the show and I said, I think he should stand trial. Got a lot of email from folks who thought I was being too harsh on him, and they thought he should not stand trial. What do you think about it? Or what do you think about 2012? Or anything else that's on your mind? It's Open Line Live. We'll be back right after this.
What's that you say? You gotta pay to play. But you ain't saying nothing. Rise and shine.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
I'll be there in the morning light.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We are open line live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind, all right? We have a few minutes left. I'll take another caller or two at 1-800-289-1092. Let me go back and talk about Gary McKinnon for just a moment. You know, I said that I thought that Gary McKinnon should probably be prosecuted for what he did. All right. He has been threatened with up to 60 years in jail. Now, that's pretty serious. What he did is he hacked into the military Pentagon computers, and he said he was looking for information about UFOs. And he did this for, I think, about 2 years. Before he got caught, and he is now facing extradition to the United States of America. The reason that I said, especially a lot of people in the UFO field, they look at Gary McKinnon as a kind of a cult hero. And I understand why. Except, when you start hacking into people's computers, anybody's computer, that's a crime. And that means you can be the nicest guy on the face of the planet, but you just became a, what? Can you say the word? Criminal. I got emails from a lot of people at that time, back when I did the shows, about Gary McKinnon. I got a lot of emails from people in Europe saying that he should not be extradited, he should not stand trial, and so forth. And I asked the question, I went on the show and I asked this question. If an American had hacked into your government computers in your country, into your military computers in your country, would you want that person to come to your country and be tried for his crime? If it was your country that got broken into, would you want the criminal, the person that did it, would you want them brought to your country to stand trial? Well, when I asked that question, things sort of got quiet in the discussion, you know. I quit getting emails. I quit getting telephone calls that were hot about that. You see, it puts it in a different perspective when you say, what if it was your country? When you break into someone's computer and you look around, as I said, that is a crime. When you do that to government computers, that can be espionage. You see, we have no way of knowing for sure. McKinnon says he's not a spy. I think our government has concluded that he is not. But at the beginning of this, there's no way to know for sure just who is this guy. What are his connections? And what is he doing?
What's he up to? And so, you know, it's a real national security issue for any country when someone breaks into their computers. And so, I've said I think he should be brought back. I've said I think he should stand trial. I've been asked, well, what penalty do I think he should get? Well, I don't know. But I think that it should be more than a slap on the hand. How many of you would think that if you were to, you know, hack into the Pentagon computers, how many of you would think that might be a little dangerous for you? I think just about everybody listening to this show would say, well, I would never do that. And then my question would be, well, why not? Well, because I know it's wrong, and besides, I don't want to get in trouble. So you see, the thought goes through your head before you do it that you could get into trouble for this. And I'm quite sure it went through McKinnon's head. Now, if he thinks that what, you know, the information he was looking for was so important that it was worth the risk, well, fine. It was worth the risk. Now you do the time. I mean, that's the way this works. It's the real world. It's not a virtual world. It was a virtual world that he was in when he broke into the computers, but the penalties for doing that are real-world penalties. So, I don't know. Maybe, what do you think? Do you think McKinnon should be extradited to the United States, or do you think he should just be let go? Just let him go about his life. What do you think? We're almost out of time, and I want to be sure that I tell you again about our trip to Thailand, the one this year. We're going to do sort of a mystery or mystical tour of some of the places that I've been privileged to go. Many of you know that I used to be an international police officer, and I've been in many places on this planet. And I've seen some of the most interesting things. I don't mean from just a tourist point of view, but sort of from this paranormal mindset point of view. I've seen some of the most interesting things on the planet. I want you to see some and experience some. I want you to get a taste of that. And so I'm going to begin this year taking you to some of those places. After this tour, I'm probably going to do one to East Timor. But that's not for tourists, believe me. If you go on that one, you've got to be in for an expedition. It's pretty tough. Beautiful, beyond description, pretty tough. You've heard me talk about the dogs in East Timor and how at midnight in Vaiheke, East Timor, at midnight, the dogs would begin to howl. And the howling would start far away and work its way right up the street and all the way across town. And it was as if they were following somebody. But there was nobody out there. Well, I'm going to take you, when we do the one to East Timor, I'm going to take you to Vaiheke. And at midnight, you'll see what I mean. I'm getting chills just thinking about it now, and I used to hear it every night. Wow. All right. Don't forget to express to Don Alice your best thoughts and wishes and prayers for his recovery. He's in a lot of pain, and we need to let him know that we're pulling for him. Visit his website, Alien Seeker News. You will be delighted that you did. Tomorrow night, my guest, well, has been with us before. Gene Malkovich will be back with us. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Thank you.